du kjenner, skal vi si, lagets hjerteslag innenfra.
Og jeg går og tenker på at vi skal bli best igjen, og vi skal vinne ting, og that's it, tenker jeg.
Vi har gjort det vi har sagt at vi skulle gjøre, og det veldig fredspelt.
Rosenborg har hentet 5 spillere i det her overgangsvinduet, og har akkurat nå en stall på 31 spillere. Har dere nå handlet ferdig?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's very clear that we cannot play with 31 players, only 11. They haven't changed the rules for us yet. We are happy with the players that we've brought in, but it's also, of course, logical that some players will be going on loan, and then players that are not happy with their position will come knocking on the door. So I think that's something that will happen naturally.
Mm. And that was a test, and you passed, I must say, because there's been rumors and speculations that you're quite good with languages, and some say that you'll probably be fluent in Norwegian in a couple of months. How much Norwegian do you actually understand?
I would say I understand like 80-90%. Of course, having lived 1 year in Denmark, 6 months in Sweden. Of course, it was many years ago in Sweden. But I have a good base for learning Norwegian, especially when I hear the Swedish speakers talking. I understand, I wouldn't say 100%, but almost everything. So the last part is always speaking, so I could make a fool of myself here trying to speak, but I'll give me a little bit of time. Time is something that I haven't had enough of to start putting some investment in the Norwegian language, but it will come.
Mm. Because if we were to list up the languages you speak, obviously Icelandic, you grew up there. Then you moved to Belgium. Did you pick up any languages there?
Yeah, I started learning Dutch there. So they have Dutch and French. Training was mostly in French, as we had 7-8 foreign players in the... 7-8 French-speaking players.
Mm.
So that was good for me because after being in Sweden, I went to Holland and I had a base to speak Dutch. So I speak Dutch quite well. I understand it perfectly, but similar with the Scandinavian countries, like to speak it is a little bit rusty. And then Spanish I was able to learn, German. And I spent some time as a child in Italy, so I have basic knowledge there. So I would say I'd speak fluently 4 or 5 and understand 2-3 more.
Mm. Does this help you a lot in your job, or do you mainly use English?
Definitely. I have still a lot of friends in Germany after being 7 years in Augsburg. I use it every week for sure. Dutch, not as much. Spanish, I do use occasionally. I have some good friends there, and I think in every team that I've been since leaving Real Sociedad, there's been someone Spanish speaking in that team. So I've tried to keep it, keep it fresh. And here we have Jordi, so he's my new Spanish. Not teacher, but keeping good for maintenance for me to keep it going.
And when it comes to Norwegian, when can we test you and expect you to do interviews in Norwegian?
Yeah, let's see how it is in 2-3 months. I will do my best to be at a level that you can understand me.
Mm. And although the first question was also a test, it was also a serious question. Looking at the size of the squad, you said you cannot play 31 players. What is an optimal number to have in the squad?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you want to be able to play 11 against 11, of course. So 22 players, if you are filling that up with young players for the last 2-3 spots, that's possible. For example, at the moment, we have quite a lot of injuries and sicknesses, so we cannot play 11 against 11. So on our trip going to Portugal, we had 31 players. We had to leave some behind who were injured, and then we just had a lot of injuries in the first days, and we we had to make some compromises in the first training matches because we didn't want anybody to play 90 minutes. So it's been good for us that we have a lot of players, and it was very positive in Portugal that the younger players got a lot of playing minutes so they could test themselves for the first team at Rosenborg and see where they stand and if they stay with us or go back and then come back. It's still going to be a very insightful experience for them. But it always depends on what happens with injuries, suspensions and those kind of things. If you have a lot of them, then you say, oh, we should have had a bigger squad. If you don't have any, if everybody was fit now, then it's, of course, you have a problem at some point because you cannot offer 30 players a perspective. Mm. So I cannot name one number, but I think it was Louis van Gaal who said, you need 18 first team players, three goalkeepers, and then fill it up with three young players. So that's 24. But that's also in a perfect world. And 10 years ago, now there are more games, more intensity in the games. That's what you see in all the leagues. It's becoming more intense. So we will see at the 31st of March how many players we have. I think also players who have not a good possibility to play will also want to do something new.
Mm. So even though you can't say a specific number, we can expect it to be a bit lower than right now.
Yes, I think it's not a secret that some players will be going on loan because it's the best thing for their development. They are still Rosenborg players. We will follow them up. But
are there any players in specific that you want to see on loan?
Yeah, I don't want to name specific names, but there have been discussion with those players. As you can imagine, it's the younger players who we believe still that have a perspective at Rosenborg, but it would be better for their development to go on loan. And that's a very logical thing. That's something we have to use. And that's also the players have to see it, that they go somewhere where maybe the facilities and are not as good as here. Conditions are not as good as here. You have to try to survive in those conditions, find a way to get into the team, because those problems that will face you there are going to face you at Rosenborg at some later point. So it's, there is no such thing in my opinion, as a bad loan. Even though the player plays 0 minutes, then he was dealing with some issues or things that will help him for his future career. Mm. And that he will face those issues 20 more times in his career. So if you've done it once, then it becomes easier the second and third time.
Mm. What about when it comes to permanent transfers? Do you have interest on players? Do you have any bids in right now, for example?
No, not at the moment. We have interest in a lot of players. We will be following a lot of players, but we are very happy with what we've been able to bring in. Yeah.
I meant sales, actually. Maybe
I hope you didn't say that. Do we have bids for players at the moment? No, there are discussions with some players, about some players, but nothing close to an agreement, no.
I see. Og det blir litt norsk også nå, så grunnen til at vi sitter her da, jo fordi at Petter Rasmus befinner seg allerede i Marbella sammen med damelaget. Ole Sagbakken skulle egentlig vært her, men måtte melde pass i siste liten, og da går vi jo glipp av hans små morsomheter, men med all beskjedenhet så økes jo det engelske nivået da, når gamle gutta erstattes av vikar Murvoll. Men vi sitter altså en onsdag i februar, det er rett før årsmøtet på Piran kommer, og det er rett før treningskampen mot Ranheim, som sendes på adressa.no torsdag, og vi sitter her i gangen på Lerkendal sammen med RBKs sylferske sportslige leder, Alfred Finnbogason. Next week, the annual meeting, are you going to that?
No, I will be in Marbella. I'm going traveling with the team, so I will unfortunately not be able to attend that.
Mm. And the game tomorrow, we will see you there as well?
Yes, I will be there. That's in my calendar. Yeah.
You've been both to Portugal and also going to Marbella. What does it give you to go with the team to these training camps?
It's very, insightful and important for me to have some more concentrated time with the players and the staff. You are together under the same roof for 24 hours a day, and you have time for small talks, which is something that is very important for someone in coming in now, for me to get to know each all the players and the staff, and I'm not far from being done with talking to everybody and getting to know everybody, not as a player or so, more as a person and what they're doing and what they want to do with their future lives and what's keeping them interested. I think that factor is hugely important for me. So that, yeah, it's a good timing. It's also good timing for not only for me as a new staff member, it's also important for new players when they can go directly on trainees camp. This is the perfect way to get integrated into a team. So I feel like I used the time well in Portugal, and I will be doing that as well in Marbella.
Mm. Og vi skal benytte tid her da, til å bli litt bedre kjent med Alfred etter hvert, både hans spillekarriere og litt og kanskje om det private og som skjer på utsida av jobbverdenen, men vi starter altså litt med Rosenborg. Alfred, when you first started here on your very first day, did your first interviews, you said that you've been preparing for this job for over a decade, and throughout your career you've kind of picked up things that could have been improved in the clubs you've played in. But you couldn't really go into like specifics on what can improve in Rosenborg. Now, after about 6 weeks or so, is there any things you see in Rosenborg that you've learned we can improve on these things?
No, everything is perfect in Rosenborg. No, I think every club has is different, you know, from the structure, from how they work, and how the governance of that club is, and it has, of course, pros and cons, you know. Rosenborg, as you said, there's a general assembly next week, and that tells you also how the club is. The board will be elected, and they appoint the CEO, so that is the structure that we're working in. So we have to try to make the best out of that structure. I see that it's very clear role description for me and for the departments that are under the football, so that is a big plus in my opinion. Many clubs where I've been, it's been quite unclear, too many people mixing in with decisions, which is not really effective way of running a football club if there's too many people talking often. Yeah, and if I look back on Germany, a lot of clubs that have been underperforming, there's just too many people involved, too many people want to have a voice. I think if you see and study a little bit the clubs that are successful in Europe, historically it's 3-4 people taking all decisions. They have full backing of everybody around. So I think that is something that is a success driver, in my opinion. Where can we improve? I mean, I think we can, it's a very classic answer, but we can always improve. But I like to see the positives, you know. I think it is very good for me that we have had a coach and coaching staff for the last two seasons here. They have gone through a lot in those two seasons, made a lot of experiences, and they know exactly what they want and expect from this season, so that helps me a lot to have good insights into what's been going on. I think, as you saw, of course, we hired a new head of recruitment, Jon Vik. That is a department that has been analyzed, that we want to improve, so that is, we're now in the first steps of trying to restructure and find a way how we can have the best scouting and recruitment in Norway. We want to be best in every department. That's very clear, but it doesn't happen in one day.
Mm. Has anything surprised you so far within the club after getting some time to know it?
Surprised me. I mean, the people that I'm working with on a day-to-day basis, really, it's been a pleasure. It's been a lot of fun. So that there's a lot of good resources within the club. I wouldn't say there was a surprise, maybe, but yeah, there's you know, that's the thing in Scandinavia. You have more of a human aspect than maybe if you are in more southern countries, where I've also had the experience to play. So it's a good place to be. I'm very happy with the decision that I took, and of course with the trust that they've given me. So, like I said, I like to look at the positives.
Mm-hmm. And during a member meeting here a couple of weeks ago, Arne Nypan, the board member, he said that for you it's been almost like being thrown into a washing machine because you've been working like 7 in the morning to 11 at night. How much have you actually been working?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah, it was, of course, a pretty crazy period to come into. But it was a situation, so don't misunderstand that I'm complaining or something. It's I think I came to the office around 7 o'clock every day and leaving, eating my lunch and dinner at Braca, and because I just saw how many topics there was for me to get into. I want to be prepared when I'm talking about something, when I'm discussing something. So. And everything regarding, of course, player recruitment, it's very time consuming. You want to look at the player for a couple of games. You want to get background checks, and then maybe you've spent a lot of time on that, and then you get the message: the player is not in this world coming to Rosenborg. Then you lost that time in a way. So, of course, when you're new, you're getting, regards to the washing machine, you're getting thrown around a little bit. You know, you should be there, you have to be there. And we were, like I said before, in a process of hiring someone, which was a really important hiring for the club and for me as well, because it's someone that I'll be working with closely every day. So it was, doing that, doing the recruitment, of course, also trying to get as much information about everything, taking decisions on players leaving that I had barely met, which was also not easy. But in some cases, I had to, trust the people around me for things. And if 10 people have a certain opinion about a case, then of course that's pretty clear. So that's so many people can't be wrong, you know. It's been a lot of managing, a lot of learning. But the good thing is I woke up every morning looking forward to it, and that's still the case. So I'm still fresh and hungry.
But 7 to 11, that's like 14, 15, 16 hours almost every day. How long have you been working this much? Is it ever since you started the job? Are you still working this much?
I would say maybe the first 3 weeks before you went to Portugal, then the window was still open. If it was some days 7 to 8 or 7 to 9, I wasn't really counting the hours, but I was just... trying to use the time that I had to get into everything that I spoke about before, and it was needed in my opinion. Then we went to Portugal. Then you had a little bit time to create a new routine and not forget to do things that are good for yourself, your head, and your health to move and to do some things that clear your head. So it's hopefully coming to a routine where the most difficult period is over. Not to say that the transfer window is always going to be quite hectic, but this job has some cycles that I will be seeing through this year, and then you can pretty much calculate how the years will be, and of course when the time is right, it's also important just to get away from the office a couple of days and recharge.
Yeah, and probably also gives a picture on how motivated you actually are for the job.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, that's my intention, is to do a really good job here for Rosenborg, to in a way pay back the trust that they've shown in me, offering me this job and wanting to go on this journey together. I think that is something that I don't take for granted. I'm young in this career, but I want to make the most of this chance and be successful at Rosenborg, and to be successful you have to be willing to put in a lot of work.
Mm. And once again referring to Arne Nypan, he called you Alfred II because you have two Alfreds in the club. What should we call you? Do you have a nickname, or have you come up with a solution for that?
I think the older one should be number one and the younger one should be two, in my opinion. No, it's been a big topic because it can lead to some confusion. I think during my career it was Freddie or Alfie or Finn in that direction. So, yeah, we haven't really solved that. So it's still on the to-do list. If you have a good solution, then we're open for it.
Yeah. Have you ever had a nickname of any sort?
Freddie, in some, it's different between countries, you know. In Iceland, just been Alfred. In Germany, was Freddie. Not a nickname that has stuck. No.
No, we'll see how it develops then. And yes. I thought we could move on to some more play style and tactics. When it comes to the cooperation with the head coach Alfred, how much do you discuss tactics and the way you want to play football with him?
Of course, we discuss it. In the end, we're just discussing ideas. He is hired to decide on the tactics and who plays and how we play. Of course, in relation to the strategy of Rosenborg, and there has to be, of course, clear boundaries to what I'm mixing myself in. But I think we've created a relationship until now where we can speak pretty open to each other without one offending the other. And I think that's a very good basis for success, that you can have very open talks and with just saying your opinion, even though you know the other person won't like it or doesn't agree. So I leave it to him, but if I have some remarks or comments or ideas, I will of course tell him, and then he can decide if to tell me if I should focus on get back to my own job or if he implements it in some way. But in the end, it's we are in a cooperation. We want the same thing, and yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that our respect and trust is really good.
Mm. When I talked to Alfred Johansson in Portugal, he said that Rosenborg's playing style is to play 4-3-3 with number 6, 2 8s, and to attack forward and defend forward. You've had 7 different countries. What is your philosophy? What kind of football would you play if you were in charge of everything?
Yeah, but that's the reason I didn't become a coach. Then I can answer that question for you. Now, it's of course a little bit like religion. You know, everyone has their way of playing, but I think, and then I'm here also to respect the Rosenborg way of playing. It's not that I'm coming here and saying, no, we do it my way, we do it like this. It's me implementing a strategy with the people around me, with the coach, and you hire a coach that fits into the strategy, in my opinion. And, you know, I think if you want my ideas or thoughts on that is, you have to be a little bit adaptable because football is always changing. You have to be a little bit flexible in your system. And I think what is more important than numbers in a tactic is your principles of play. You know, you have to have very clear principles. And 4-3-3 is very different depending on which players you put in which position. So, yeah, that I have clear ideas on that, and I think that the modern day game is very dynamic. That and it also depends on the combination of players who are together. Let's say in midfield, what type of players, who is covering for who is filling which spaces. So I'm not too occupied about, okay, we are only playing 4-3-3. I mean, we've been playing now with, for example, Amin Xhaka as a 10, 8. Is it in a 4-3-3 or is it a 4-4-2? Or call it what you want, but we are trying to find a way to be most effective with the players we have and putting players into position where they are playing to their strengths. So I'm not too occupied about how the lineup looks on a tactic paper. It's more about how the relationships are between players playing close to each other to have some continuity. How is the combination between the fullback and the winger, the center backs? I think those things are much more important than the tactic you put on the table.
Mm. And when you're referring to the players here, we spoke about the size of the squad, but how about the quality? How good is the Rosmo squad you have right now?
I think it's, of course, I have looked at many games from last season, did my analysis, the club and the coach did their analysis. And from that, we sort of looked, okay, where do we want to improve? We lost a top keeper in Sander, if we go just start with the goalkeepers. But I believe with Leopold Valsted, we're getting a goalkeeper in a similar quality. He's older, more experienced, has experienced good times and difficult times. So also from presence, he's played in Norway. So I think our quality stays the same in that position. We got Jonas Svensson in. I don't have to tell Rosenborg fans anything about him and the quality he will bring. He's training like he's 19, 20 years old. So that we're adding quality, in my opinion, to the defense. We are with Mats Bommelt and Johan Bakke, two young, energetic midfielders who have can run a lot, are both powerful and can have a lot of positive impulses going forward. So I think we're improving the quality there. Amin Shaka as well. He has been playing now in this 10 role, can also play as a striker. So it's a player who already played a lot of games for FC Copenhagen when he was 17. So I think we've improved or a lot. The quality is not less in every aspect of our game. So I would say that we've brought in quality, and that was also the aim, to strengthen the core of the team. And, we believed we have numbers, but we also want to push the players that we already have who, and that's the thing, these discussions now, it's always only about the players who are coming in. I think the players who are here have done well and have also a lot of quality, but I think also that they will improve now with the players that we've got in hand. That's my belief.
Mm. And out of the signings you're mentioning, according to our reports, you've spent a lot of money, especially on Mats Bommelt, over 20 million. I assume you won't confirm any numbers or anything, but it's a big transfer. Why spend that kind of money on a 20-year-old midfielder from Denmark?
Yeah, of course I cannot confirm on the numbers, but because we are convinced about his quality and what he brings to the team. He's not only a player that will, you know, perform, but I believe it's a player that also makes the players around him better. Very smart football player with a high football IQ, is very decisive in the final pass, in the final third. Can shoot with the left and right outside the box, and we also see even potential for him to improve, to get closer to the box, to be more closer to the action. He was sometimes playing a little bit deeper in Aalborg as a double six. But we think that in our system, he's the player that fits perfectly.
Mm, I see. And what is this squad good enough for with the quality that you brought in?
Yeah, that's maybe a little bit hard for me to say. I would say that last year I followed a little bit some of my old friends who were playing at Brann, so I saw a couple of Eliteserien games last year, more than I have the last year. So I know. So I saw quite a few of their games just out of interest. So where exactly we stand to in regards to our opponents, that's a little bit where, yeah, I need to see a little bit more from them, because I've been super focused on us and our, how do we intrinsically get better, how do we improve our value, how do we get better at the things that we have been underperforming at, and how do we get players to make the team better. So of course time will tell, but yeah, there and then the time that I've had in the job, I've not been, of course it will come, but I have not had enough time to analyze every single squad, because my focus has been so much on us.
I see. Og der vi sitter nå da, det var dagen før Ranheim Rosenborg torsdag I Granåsenhallen, og så det altså avreise til Marbella lørdag, hvor Rosenborg skal møte både Start og Vålerenga. You've played 4 games so far this preseason, 1 goal. What are the headlines for the upcoming matches?
That's true. 1 goal. About 2 against.
Against.
Yeah, so we're stable defensively.
Yep, that's good.
Very stable. I think that's the basis for success. What for me was very positive was to see that the things that we've been doing in training, we saw in the matches. I saw also matches where we are creating a lot of good opportunities, creating a lot of good chances, but not executing them. So I'm absolutely not worried about the offensive game, because I know that we cannot just think that it will come by itself, but I think when you're putting yourself in these positions, yeah, we have the quality that that we will use it, use those chances. The headline, yeah, I will give it, yeah, I think it's pretty easy that I can figure out what your headline would be, but we still have some weeks. We have some players who just came in and have been, yeah, loaded a little bit step by step. We have players who haven't participated in a single game. So, yeah, we're a little bit in a phase where we are quite content where we are, but we see that the potential is still to improve a lot.
Mm, yeah, because the reality is, like Simen Bolkanuli said when he guested the podcast a few weeks ago, is that when you go to Brynäs and play the cup game, that is when you have to be ready.
That's exactly right, and that everything is building up to that, because you know it's a long preseason in Norway, so yeah, you have to find something to discuss about, of course, to keep the people excited for the upcoming season. But I see so many positives in the way that we've been playing, in the way that we've been pressing, the way that we've been defending, also playing a lot of those games with under 21 squads, players at 16-year-old, playing significant minutes and doing really well. So we are, you know, widening the group of players that are getting a little bit blood on their teeth, not to say that they will play a big role this summer, but they are coming closer, and that's also something for the younger players, that when they get a chance to play a game, a friendly or an internal match, it's like every time you play, you have a chance to make a positive or a negative impression, and if you keep putting in positive impressions, you are getting closer. So sometimes it takes longer than you hoped or wished, but a lot of players left a very positive, of the young players left a very positive impression on the training camp.
Mm-hmm. Heading to Marbella at the end of the week, do you hope for better weather than in Portugal?
It can only get better, I think. I think we saw the sun one day in Portugal, which is very unusual. But in the end, you just have to laugh about it, because we have absolutely no control of it. But I think everybody is checking the weather regularly in Marbella, and it looks better.
Yeah. Our colleague Petter, he was there yesterday. He reported about 20 degrees and sunny. So it seems nice. But speaking of Marbella, it was mentioned that you visited family there some weeks ago. What was that about?
Yeah, my family was there. So I went to visit them when I had my birthday during Portugal.
Because where is your family living right now?
They are living in Spain, in Marbella.
Okay. So you were living in Spain also before you moved here now?
Yes, we were there for 1 year. I was working from Iceland, which I was, yeah, half the time in Iceland, half the time in Spain. So it was, yeah, that was the way it started. And then it became more and more. So it was ended up being mostly in Iceland. So that was something that we decided. And then my family will continue to live there. Yeah.
Mm. So when I go to Marbella now and want to go to a good restaurant, you're the one I should be asking.
Definitely.
I see. We're going to move on to a bit about your playing career. I'll start off quite bold. Would you consider yourself an Icelandic footballing legend?
That would be very strange if I would say that I'm an Icelandic football legend myself.
Do you think others would say it?
You have to ask someone else. I mean, I decided when I retired that I was. When I reflected, I was very proud of what I could achieve coming from Iceland and still playing in the Icelandic league when I was 21 years old. So I was sort of a late bloomer. Was of course some luck involved, but of course you have to be sometimes in the right clubs with the right coach at the right time. I was able to play a long time at a high level, so I'm very happy with the career and proud of what I could achieve.
Mm. Yeah, and if we were to summarize some of it, you started in Iceland, Breiðablik, 30 goals in 46 matches, went to Belgium, then Netherlands, where you were the top scorer 1 year at least with 29 goals, went to Spain, Real Sociedad, played in Olympiacos, Augsburg, where you played the longest in your career, went to Lyngby, open, how do you say it?
Open.
Open, yeah. And also then some playing back in Iceland again?
No. I know what you're referring to, yeah. I stopped after open.
I see. And also, of course, 73 games for the national team and 18 goals. But we have to talk about the World Cup 2018. The very first goal for Iceland you scored against Argentina. What was that like?
It was a special day. I mean, it was like the classic dream come true, you know, because I felt like everything I did in my career was leading up to that day. You know, everything positive and negative that I had to go through was like came together there. I was the years before a little bit on the bench in the national team, and then I had a really good qualification before the World Cup. I got injured before the World Cup, so it didn't look like I was going to play. But I was there, and it was an amazing day where, you know, I can't really describe it because I was in sort of laser focus on, yeah, it was a little bit, you know, the subconscious mind took over where you are just like, you're just enjoying. So I probably played one of my better games. And of course, to score the goal, a historic goal for Iceland made it very special. And everything about that occasion, you're playing against Messi, you're playing against Argentina, first game for Iceland in the World Cup. That's the best day I experienced in football.
Yeah, so when you look back at your career, that's no doubt the highlight of your career.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's number one, mm-hmm. for sure.
Messi, is he the best player you ever faced?
Yeah, I have a good record against him, actually. I played against him 3 times, so he won once, I won once, and one draw.
So you're even then?
Yeah, but goals is 1-0 for me. So basically, I'm I can be. I have the bragging rights. I'm not sure he's thinking too much about that record against me. But it's special to play against him. Of course, Ronaldo as well, a couple of times. But
he's not maybe the player that you face. Like on the pitch, who is like the toughest defender you had to face?
Yeah, that's for sure. Virgil van Dijk. I played against him when he was in Groningen and I was in Heerenveen. And you know, I just came to the Netherlands, and there's, you know, the in Holland the defenders are normally really good ball players, and maybe not as physical or fast, or so they focus a lot on that they're good playing from the back. So then I just came up against this player that was fast, strong, good on the ball, and just impossible to beat him in the air. And he went sort of the long way to the top, because it took a couple of years. He went to Celtic and then Southampton and then to Liverpool, and then, you know, but like that was two tough games that season against him. I would say him and Jonathan Tah where I was, yeah, pretty much after the game. I didn't really know. I didn't have any solutions to their physicality and football ability.
Yeah, two quite strong players, I would have to say. And how about teammates? Who's, if you were to pick out one, it's maybe a hard job, but who's the best teammate you ever had?
So I would have to... The most talented player that I played with was Carlos Vela. I played with him in Real Sociedad.
He's a Mexican winger.
Mexican winger who went to Arsenal when he was 16. And then he came on loan to Real Sociedad, did well, and they permanently bought him the same summer that that I came. But he'd been doing really well on loan. So he was like a hero in the city. And he could have, should have played for Barcelona or Real Madrid with his capabilities and how good he was, you know, when he wanted to. And then, of course, he went to LAFC and did unbelievably well in the MLS. But, you know, maybe he didn't have that brutal motivation that you need to go to the top. He said no to a lot of big clubs because he really felt well and comfortable in Real Sociedad. So I would say that he is the best football player that I played with, but the best, I say, player that I would like to have on my team, that is probably Esteban Cambiaso, that I played with in Olympiacos. Because if you were with him in the team in training, you knew you were going to win. Just like he did all the simple things in football so well, and just didn't complicate the simple things. It sounds really easy, but it is such a quality to have that. It was just a leader. You know, he'd won the Champions League with Inter, and then I got to play with him for a couple of months. It was a real pleasure to watch him and to learn from him.
Mm, I see. That's interesting to hear. But how about yourself? You were obviously very talented, very good, had a very good career. What made you so good? How did you get where you... Yeah, how did you become the first historic goal scorer for Iceland?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think my background was a little bit different to the other players that were eventually with me on this national team that went to the Euros and the World Cup. I was playing in Iceland. I went when I was 18 to Italy for an exchange in my school, so nothing connected to football. I was, of course, training football. I wanted to become a professional, but it wasn't, you know, structured enough. I think I was 19 when I was like, okay, I had a meeting with my parents and said I want to try everything to be a professional player, which is normally a bit too late to. But after, you know, when I was 20 and 21, I had a lot of success in the Icelandic league with Breiðablik. We won the cup, we won the league. So it happened really quickly, even though it was, of course, a process of a couple of years to get to there. Then I went to Belgium, realized difficult times playing as a left winger mostly. And then, you know, went to Helsingborg on loan in Sweden. That really... You know, I got the joy again to show myself. And after 6 months there, going to Herenveen, and that's really where I found my place, you know, a perfect playing style and the perfect team with a perfect coach. And being very successful in that period really set me up for the career that I had, because I think if you perform well there, there's a lot of eyes on that league. I think me as a player, I was, and in that time, developed to be a typical goal scorer, also could contribute in the build up and with assists. You know, I was never a super physical player, but I think from having that lack of physicality when I was young, I always had to find ways to be one step ahead, to anticipate. And I think, yeah, those things were my biggest advantages, you know, because, yeah, often had to sit on the bench for a big striker because that was more convenient for the team. But so I had to develop my game and become more of a target player, you know, in the sense that I could be. But I lived a little bit from goals and creating situations for my teammates.
Did you ever do other sports as a kid or growing up?
Not really seriously. I think I was in track and field until I was like 7, 8, a little bit of handball, a little bit of basketball, but nothing. Yeah, no, not really on a serious level, no.
Yeah, we're getting to the end here. You said 45 minutes and we're reaching that mark pretty soon. So just a bit about your career leading up to becoming a sporting director, because the 19th of December, Ole and I, we started texting about you, because we had heard that he might be a candidate for the job. And I looked at your Instagram and I tried like stalking you there. Is there anything? Has he been in Trondheim or anything like that? But it looked like you were in Paris at the time, or at least had been part of a sporting director program. What can you say about the education that you have leading up to this job?
I would say that during my whole, almost all of my playing career, I've been doing some sort of studying. There was a period that I didn't. That was mainly because we were, became a father and was going through some injuries. So at that time, it was a little bit too much. But I was always aware of that when I became professional, that it's not something that you're going to live off for 40 years. So you have to prepare yourself, and you have as a player the time to do it, you know, because you normally finish at 1:30 or 2 o'clock, so you have time. So I wanted always to have a second, you know, you say normally a leg, we have two legs, yeah. A third leg.
Something to fall back on,
yeah. That was my main thinking, and just to be a little bit activating my brain with something else than only football, because if your whole life is as a player of football and you're going up with the emotions going up and going down, you're going to go crazy, because there's a lot of things that are sometimes out of your control. So I started studying psychology when I was in Belgium. I found pretty quickly that was not the way I wanted to go. And then I found, when you're playing, it has to be something that is in a distance learning. I got introduced to the Cruyff Academy, that is in a Cruyff Institute in Barcelona, that a colleague of mine was doing. So I studied sports management there for a couple of years, finished that. And then since then, I was also studying business from a school in Iceland, business administration, doing a lot of courses, you know, shorter courses, both in Germany and other ones. So I've always been a bit curious. Then when I started with Breiðablik, there was a course that came up, for a sporting director course from UEFA, which was super insightful. It's not like you do a course and then you become a sporting, or you do a coaching course, then you are a coach. I think that alone doesn't really give you anything, but you know, I think it's also just my reflections as a player and how I've used the time and my network of being close to people who are in decision making in clubs and all the clubs that I was and players that I played with who I've gone on to. So I always, you know, strategically or not, been very interested in that side. And my plan wasn't maybe to jump into something directly. I wanted to use maybe a little bit more time to go to see more clubs, which I'd already been doing, seeing how people work. But then, you know, that's life. You have a plan and then opportunities come and then you have to take decisions. And that's what happened with Rosenborg.
Mm. Have you ever played Football Manager?
Yes, I did it a lot in my younger years. I think it started when I was 5 or 6. You know, at least my parents say that. They had to drag me out to school because I was playing Football Manager. I don't remember which version it was, but I think the first player I bought always was Jürgen Klinsmann. So you have to find out which version of the game that was. But I used to play it a lot, but faded a little bit away the last years.
Yeah, because that's for like normal football fans, that's kind of the chance they have to at least act as a sporting director. The job you have now, is it kind of like real life Football Manager?
Yeah, but the only difference is you're dealing with people. So people are complex. People have emotions. So that makes everything more fun when it goes well and more difficult when it's not going well. So no, you cannot compare it now.
I see. How long do you see yourself staying in Rosenborg?
I'm not really thinking about it. We signed a 5-year contract. If it will be 5, 10, 15... I don't know. That's not really. I don't. Of course, it depends that on that I deliver and I perform. I think that's something that is from their side. They want to see. And same when I join clubs. You know, you make contracts. You want to stay there a long time, and then life happens. But I haven't really had time to think about it. But at least 5 years.
Mm. See, and before we wrap up here, outside football, what is like life for you like?
Yeah, I like to as hobbies or just what
yeah,
to
how
do.
You spend your time.
Of course, I have a family, 3 kids. I like to spend as much time with them as possible, which has not been so much the last weeks. And when I have time to get away or to my kind of meditation is playing golf or playing paddle or going to the gym, just like not having your phone on, and especially with golf, being in nature and just, you know, focusing on the next shot. And that's for me a bit of like meditation to ground me, and I always feel better when I do it. I have to see if I can fit it in the program. The golf is a very time-consuming sport, but it's more than just just going out to do a sport. For me, it's that's the effect it has on me. Same with paddle. It's a very nice sport, and I can understand why it's so popular from ex-football players, because it has the competition aspect. You're also moving. You're many times outside. I can understand the facilities are indoor here.
We have some courts that are outside.
Yeah.
So you have to pick those few days when
exactly.
When it's nice.
So it has that, you know, we are used to competing every day. So you have the competition aspect as well, also with golf. So that's maybe why these two. I played also tennis after I retired quite a lot to feel that urge of competing. So I think that's something that I think we will never leave a sports person that has been competing. You have to have some sort of competition in your life.
Mm. And the family that your family is living in Marbella now, right now, but the plan for them is to come here and live in Trondheim as well?
Yeah, that's the plan, that they come next summer. Yeah.
I see. And your thoughts about the city so far, how do you find it?
I have not really seen it, to be honest. I've been only one time into the city. So I think that after Marbella, I will have a little bit more time to see more things. So I will be very honest that I have not really had time to get to know the city.
I see.
I know Lerkendal and I know the airport. That's the main things.
And final question here, Alfred. What position does Rosenborg finish in this season?
Sneaking that one in there. It's clever. We will be very close to the top.
Okay. We'll make sure to follow on that. Thank you very much for guesting in the podcast.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Du kjenner, skal vi si, lagets hjerteslag innenfra.
Og jeg går og tenker på at vi skal bli best igjen, og vi skal vinne ting. Og that's it, tenker jeg.
Vi har gjort det vi har sagt att vi skulle göra. Och det är väldigt frustrerande.